Peter chapter 3, the scripture passage that I read this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter follows the book of James. And I want to begin by telling you that I am pro-mother. I would not be here today if it were not for my mother, and neither would you. So I believe that each one of us today needs to be pro-mother. Now, having said that, I want us to understand that not every mother has had a positive impact on her children. It's possible that you grew up under the influence of a very ungodly or a very abusive mother. And if that is the case, I am sorry that you've had that type of a childhood. No child should have to experience that. Now, please hear this. You must not allow what you grew up under to determine the type of person you will be today. If you grew up under a mother that was abusive, don't allow that to be the type of person you grew up to become. My encouragement today to all mothers here is that you become a godly Christian wife and a godly Christian mother. 1 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter writes about the role of a wife. And since most wives are also mothers, not all the time, but in general, I believe there are three characteristics that we find in 1 Peter chapter 3 that should be seen in the life of every mother, every wife. And this is Mother's Day, and I want to share three characteristics with you that should be seen in the life of a godly wife and mother. Are you ready to receive the Word of God today? I hope you will be, because that's what I'm going to present. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives." Now, please do not turn me off this morning because I use the word submission. I'm only stating what is found here in the Word of God. Some women today hate that word. It makes them feel less than a person, as if somehow they are less important than their male counterpart. Peter never said that. Peter never had that in mind when he penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Peter writes that wives are to be submissive to their own husbands. To their own husbands. But I want you to notice carefully what Peter wrote first before he came to chapter 3, verse 1. Go back, if you would, to chapter 2 and verse 13. Peter said, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake." In other words, he's talking about submitting to the laws of the land or to human government. And then drop your eyes down to verse 18 of chapter 2. "Servants, be submissive to your masters." Now, there was a day in the Roman Empire, there were over 60 million slaves. And slaves were to be submissive to their masters. So he talks about being submissive to government. He talks about being submissive to masters. Today it would be employee-employee relationship. And then he talks about being submissive in the area of marital relationships. So he's talking about the relationships between a husband and a wife, or fathers and mothers. So please note that wives and mothers are told to be submissive to their own husbands. It does not say to be submissive to every man. So just because you are a woman today doesn't mean that every man can control you or tell you what to do. There are some men who believe that that is the case. There are some men who, for some reason, have the idea that they're more superior than women. But they're spiritually dumb. They're doctrinally wrong. And they have no scriptural evidence to back that up whatsoever. Wives are to, get this, graciously submit to their own husbands. But what does it mean to submit? What does it mean to submit? I want to give you a very simple definition for what it would be to submit. It means to willingly come under. To willingly come under the guidance and protection of your husband. That's what it means to submit. To willingly come under the guidance and protection of one's husbands. And there is supposed to be security, get this, there is supposed to be security under the husband's umbrella of protection. Security. Every wife, every mother wants to feel secure. Husbands, provide security, and your wives will submit to your leadership. If you give your wife the security she needs, she will come under the umbrella of your leadership, the umbrella of your leadership this morning. And men, a message to you on Mother's Day. Stop abrogating your spiritual responsibility as the head of your home. You have a responsibility before God to be the spiritual leader, protector, and the one who provides security for your wife and for the mother of your children. As wives and mothers, I believe it's important to understand that you are to submit to your husband as long as he is not abusive, either to you or to your children. As long as your husband is kind and loving, you are to be submissive. But if he is unkind and unloving, turn him over to God. Turn him over to the Lord. Let God deal with your husband. You just take it and you give it over to God. My husband's abusive. My husband's unkind. My husband's unloving. My husband's not doing his job as a man. And turn him over to God and let God deal with your husband. You know what God did to Jonah, don't you? Threw him in the drink. And he got his priorities straightened out pretty quickly. If you live with a tyrannical man who is abusive or who bullies you, then you must submit to a higher authority. A higher authority. You submit to God and you submit to the Word of God. A Christian woman, either a wife or a mother, should not have to be afraid for her life or for the life of her children. And if you have an angry man, or if there is an angry man or an abusive man that is present here today, you yourself get help. Get help this morning. You will destroy your marriage and you will potentially lose your family if you do not take the corrective steps. Help is available. Help is available. Pride will keep you from seeking help, but you must reach out to a good Christian friend. You must reach out to a pastor, or you must reach out to get some type of professional help. But this is the point. Get healthy. Get healthy. If you have an anger problem, or you're abusive, or you are a tyrannical husband, get help. Get healthy. Now, at the same time, it's understood here by Peter that not every Christian woman is married to a man of faith. Not every Christian woman is married to a man who is saved. Many women during the New Testament era were saved, but their husbands were lost. So what do you do if you're married to an unsaved man? Well, that's why we come to this, the real reason for submission. Christian women are to be submissive to their own husbands. Get this in 1 Peter 3:1. It says that even if some do not obey the word, that means they're unsaved, they're lost, that they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, the submissiveness of their wives. Wives, you submit to your husbands to win them to the Lord. You have a testimony that you're to be living out to your husbands. Now, before we move on, I want to share some additional thoughts about submission. When Paul penned that great passage over in Ephesians chapter 5, I know you women are already there with me. You know that passage, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church? When he penned those words, he began with these words: wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But before Paul penned those words, he penned these words back in the previous verse in Ephesians 5:21. He said, submitting to one another in the fear of God. You see, submission is to be a mutual thing between a husband and wife, between the body of Christ and the body of Christ. There's to be a submission towards one another. And it's supposed to spread amongst the believers. Each one of us is to submit to one another. And if you practice it here, it should fall in place in your marriage. And it is with that said that I want to move along to point number two. Mothers should carefully consider their conduct, their behavior. Look what it says there. It says that without a word, they may be won by the conduct of their wives. Look at verse 2. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So A on your outline this morning is that you're being watched. His eyes are upon you. Many men, husbands and fathers, have come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result of the conduct of their wives. Their wife's chaste conduct. Many men have been won over to Christianity because of the conduct, the behavior of their wives. Wives and mothers, are you aware that you are being watched not only by your children? Yes, the eyes of your children are upon you, but the eyes of your husband, that man who may be lost, that man who may be a pagan, he has his eyes on you and he's watching your every move. He's carefully observing your behavior. What does he see in your conduct? Do you understand this morning how important your behavior is? By the way, this is true with us at all as followers of Jesus Christ. Our conduct, the way we behave in private and in public, we are being watched. Our behavior plays a significant role in people coming to Jesus Christ for personal salvation. Do people see Jesus in us? I've had Christian women point out that when they sinned, they had a slip of the tongue, they said an unkind remark, that their husbands pointed it out to them, they might have said something like this to them: are Christians supposed to say that? Are Christians supposed to act like that? This is unsaved husbands saying these things to their saved wives. You see, many Christian wives and mothers don't like it when the unsaved husband says, is that the way a Christian woman's to behave? But you have to understand this morning, that's a part of being watched. That's what it means by the unsaved world watching us. They're going to point out how our behavior is not lining up with our Christian character. Mothers, your children and your husband is observing you. You are being watched. Look at verse 2. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. On your outline this morning, you need to be aware of your conduct. The word chaste in the Greek language means without moral defect or blemish. Without moral defect or blemish. Wives and mothers are to be women of strong character. Strong character. And some of you wives and mothers may be able to testify that your husbands have already come to faith in Jesus Christ because of your strong personal testimony, because of your chaste conduct. And there are still some of you in the service this morning and you're waiting for your husbands to come to Christ. Well, you're being watched. A solid Christian woman holds the line morally. Please get this down. A solid Christian woman will hold the line morally. She will be careful what she's reading. She will be careful what she's watching. She will be careful what she's listening to and how they themselves speak and are conversing with their girlfriends. How is your language? How is your conversation when you're gathered around other women? You see, the goal of the Christian mother is to present Jesus Christ in her home. Isn't that what Christian Starr shared this morning in his testimony about mothers? being a witness in their own home. You see, the goal of the Christian mother is to present Jesus Christ. And if you have an unsaved man in your home, he needs a good representation of Christ there. We have all heard someone say these two words, behave yourself. Have we not? Behave yourself. Why? Because behavior is so important. My pastor used to say, walking the talk is just as important as talking the walk. Walking the talk is just as important as talking the walk. It's so easy to talk the walk. But what about walking the talk? The goal of the Christian wife and mother ought to be living sermon. To be a living sermon. Someone once said, I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day. I'd rather see one than to hear one any day. See on your outline for this point is that you need to have a godly fear. Notice what it said, accompanied by fear. Accompanied by fear. Well, what does that mean? It means that the godly wife and mother has a healthy fear of God in her life. It means that she has a respect for God and it shows up in her behavior. Listen to what Timothy wrote. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he said, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You see, a wife and a mother who has a display of a godly fear in her life is seeking to please God. Pleasing God. And there's a third point that I want to share this morning. Not only is it we to be submissive and not only to be looking at our conduct, our behavior, but also our appearance. Look at verses 3 through 6. It says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So first of all, in your outline A, is there's this outward adornment. Are Christian women supposed to be or supposed to dress differently from other women of the world? And how would you answer that question this morning? Well, I would say, yes, I believe Christian women are to dress differently than other women of the world. And I think that there is biblical support for that. It was the Apostle Paul who told the women at Ephesus to dress a certain way because prostitutes who walked the streets of Ephesus dressed a certain way to draw men after them. And Paul is clearly saying to Christian women, don't dress like prostitutes. Don't dress like the prostitutes. Because hear this, clothing, what a woman chooses to wear tells a lot about the woman. What a woman chooses to wear tells a lot about the woman. As your pastor, as a male, as a husband, as a father, I believe it's important for Christian women to dress conservatively. To dress conservatively. Watch out for the message that you send by how you dress. Why not have a no cleavage policy in your life? Why not? Why not cover your chest? Wear a higher neckline. Watch out for overexposure. Stop wearing tight blouses and high skirts. And the Bible speaks of modest apparel. 1 Timothy 2:9. 1 Peter 3:1 and 2. And if you get mad at what I am saying, take it up with God. Take it up with the Lord. But be careful what you wear. And nail this down this morning. A Christian woman should seek to draw attention to her countenance. A Christian woman should seek to draw attention to her face. So that's outward beauty. But what about inward beauty? Look at verse 4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. You see, it's important that Christian women be more concerned about inward beauty than about outward adornment of their face, their skin, their clothes. And Peter, like Paul, says to the Christian women that they should be careful about how they wear their hair, the wearing of gold or the putting on of fine apparel. Not that those things are wrong, but be careful where you place your emphasis. I think today that there are too many women concerned about the things that we read about here in this passage of Scripture. There are women that are into the hair thing, buying expensive jewelry and putting on costly clothing. I personally don't believe that it's wrong for wives and mothers to dress nicely to be attractive. But how much money does a woman have to spend to dress appropriately? Christian wives and mothers ought to be more concerned about their testimony than about the type of high-end department stores they shop at. And yet I hear more Christian women talking about the high-end department stores that they are shopping at than about their Christian testimonies. Is it about brand names or is it about being the brand name? Are you seeking to be a fashion show or are you seeking to be a testimony for Jesus Christ? Are you seeking to be a godly Christian wife and mother? And again, in Paul's letter to Timothy, he wrote the following words. 1 Timothy 2:10, he said, "But which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." And he's talking about the way you dress. Professing godliness. Does the way you dress profess a godliness? Dress for women ought to be more about professing godliness. And it's possible that the way you dress and the reason you dress tells a lot about your heart. Take a look at the words. It says with an incorruptible, in verse 4, with an incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Underline the words incorruptible beauty. You see, that's the type of beauty that lasts forever. Makeup fades. Jewelry breaks and becomes dated. Clothes wear out and become unfashionable. But an incorruptible beauty lasts. It lasts. And then take a look at the words gentle and quiet spirit. That means that the godly wife and mother is not a demanding person. Not someone who demands her personal rights. It speaks of a woman that's not being harsh or grating in her life. Quite the opposite occurs. She is soothing in her spirit. She's tranquil in her demeanor. There's a quietness about her. And wives and mothers, why not strive for something that is precious in the sight of God? Precious in the sight of God. Why not shoot for something higher than what the world is telling you you should be doing and living? Shoot for something higher. And then see on your outline for point number 3, learn from the ancients. In other words, learn from older Christian women. Look at verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women. Don't miss out that statement. The holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. You see, older women are to teach the younger women. That's biblical. Christian women can also watch the way other generational women have lived. They can learn from their lives. And note the example that's provided for us. It talks about the women who lived in former times, holy women who trusted God. And I encourage every woman present today to be looking for those holy women who trust God. Follow their godly example. They adorned themselves. They did it right. They were submissive to their husbands. It was no big deal. They knew that their husbands had their best in mind. Husbands, that's for you today. And note that Sarah obeyed Abraham. That is submission in action. And I might add that Sarah knew whom Abraham had to answer to. God. And knowing that is such a freeing experience for a godly woman. I'll obey my husband knowing that he's going to have to answer to God. And next, notice that Sarah called Abraham Lord. But note that Lord is a capital L. He didn't go to Abraham's head by calling him Lord, which meant he's my master, who has my best interest in mind. One writer put it like this: Sarah used the word Lord as a term of endearment. A term of endearment. And finally, I want you to notice that Sarah did not need to be afraid. And I believe that that means that she didn't need to be afraid of her husband. And no woman should have to be afraid of her husband. Wise people learn from others. Wise people learn from others. Whereas foolish people believe they don't have to learn from anything or from anyone who's lived before us, who've walked this planet before we even put our feet on the earth's surface. So what are the take-home truths this morning? What are the wives and mothers take home with them this morning? Number one on your outline: submission is not a yoke. Submission is not a yoke. It is yielding to God's program of authority. Submission is not a yoke. Therefore, when you're submitting to your husband, you are yielding yourself to God. Number two, behave yourself so as to ultimately please God. After all, in the end, he is the only one you're really going to have to give an account to as a Christian wife and a mother. Behave yourself so as to ultimately please God. And number three, dress inwardly first, and it will help you to determine how to dress outwardly. Dress inwardly first, and it will help you to learn how to dress outwardly. Brand yourself. Brand yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ by the way you dress. Now have a happy Mother's Day. Moms, submit, behave, and dress appropriately. And I think that's a very down-to-earth and very practical message for Mother's Day. Let's pray together.